Going Linux, Episode 82, Computer America, Number 19. I'm Larry Bushy, the host of Going Linux.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is an internet audio program, a podcast, for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows, or just thinking about going Linux, this audio program will provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use your Linux computer. Our goal is to help make the Linux experience easy for you.
Each month, we publish 3 episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In our feedback episodes, we read listener email, play listener-generated audio, and answer listener questions.
On the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show. We post those episodes, minus the commercials, as Going Linux episodes.
Our user experience episodes appear near the end of each month. In them, we normally take 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts.
During month 2, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for computer users building their confidence and competence with Linux. This is my 19th appearance on the Computer America radio show from October 20th, 2009.
This show is being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, the 20th of October, 2009. And I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holzman.
And welcome into a Tuesday edition of the Computer America show. And it is the third Tuesday of the month. Kerry, you know what that means, don't you?
Indeed, I do.
It means it's our All Linux show. There you go. All about the Linux operating system. So that's for both hours. So if you're interested in Linux, you're fed up with Windows or whatever it might be, or you might want to know more about it, or you're an expert in it and you just want some questions, or may want to make comments about what's happening in the world of Linux. This is the place to be. Both hours dedicated to the topic of Linux. Of course, we'll have our buddy list winner of the week. We've got our click free winner of the prize for the week as well. We've got our PopCap games giveaway. We've got our PC tools giveaway. We've got our Iolo Technologies giveaway with Logitech. I mean, all this great stuff that we have. We'll talk about that throughout the hour as well. I know this is the first show of the week for you. Catch any movies or do anything interesting?
I don't think there's really any movies out that seem very interesting at the time. There's no Battlestar Galactica that's either coming out or it's already been out. It's called The Plan.
You're not talking about Caprica, are you?
No. It's a Battlestar Galactica. It takes place before the Cylons attacked.
Oh, well, that's what Caprica. That's the first time you get an indication of how long it was in the past. It was in the past. Anyway, given that, let's move on into the present, and of course, Linux operating system.
Something less confusing. Yeah. Like Linux.
it's a movie. They're saying the chat. Yes, it was a movie, but it was a whole mythos. So let's get to our guest this hour and for next hour. His name is Larry Bushy. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, and he joins us every third Tuesday of the month, where we devote the entire show to the Linux operating system in order to answer your questions. We'll give you the phone numbers to call and all that good stuff. But let's get Larry on the show now. Hey, Larry, welcome into Computer America. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Hey, I wasn't a fan of the or I didn't watch very much the most recent show, but I did watch the original. You know, the one with Ben Cartwright.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Lauren Green, yes, exactly.
Lauren Green, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Showing my age there, I guess.
Now, that was different because that evidently took place because they land on Earth and it's the current – it's in the 70s, I think.
The 80s.
So that really didn't follow the story that they do in the Sci-Fi Channel version.
Well, that was so campy. This one was so much more serious and gritty.
Yeah,
more believable.
Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff like that, even Batman movies and the earlier ones that were the kind of campy, but the last one, The Dark Knight, I mean, that was really gritty. And I think the current the ones that are most successful, where you translate from either a comic book or from something that's kind of lighthearted, you really make it gritty and hit the reality button, and it really seems to be that seems to be the successful formula for making these types of programming work. But yeah, totally different than the TV series.
Yeah,
and based upon that it took place about 500,000 years before the current day. That's when all that had supposedly happened on the show. Anyhow, I know we're going to talk about Linux, and I know we always like to pick a theme or topic, and the topic for tonight is, have you heard there is a new version of our favorite OS, that being Linux, being released this month? And so that's the big news, huh? What is tell us about that.
Yeah, and we're not, when we talk about a new operating system coming out, a new version of an operating system, we're not talking about Windows 7. We're talking about
Linux.
A new release of Ubuntu Linux, and they will be bringing out a new release in 9 days from now. Countdown's on, 9 days and counting.
Okay, 9 days and
counting. 9 days, yes. At the end of this month, we will have a new version of Ubuntu Linux, and we can talk through the show about some of the advantages of this version over the previous version, some of the improvements they've done, and those kinds of things. It is definitely one of the most popular versions of Linux out there, and it's the one that I recommend that most people switching from Windows or even from a Mac would want to switch to, primarily because it's designed to be easy to use. It's designed for people switching from other operating systems, and it's got a lot of attention from its developers to make sure that it just works.
Now, Ubuntu, of course, is a distribution of the Linux operating system that has all the. But when we talk about, for example, when we talk about a new version of Windows Vista to, let's say, to Windows 7 or Mac OS Leopard, OS 10 Leopard to Snow Leopard, yes, there's a lot of surrounding things that have changed, but the kernel, the heart of the operating system, is also changed and updated. But with Linux, are we talking about the kernel itself? Are there any changes to that, or is it basically all the supporting surrounding things that are included in the distribution?
It's actually all of it in this case. The kernel for Linux, which is the basic part of the software of any operating system, is the kernel. The kernel of Linux is always under constant development. And when a new release from one distribution or another comes out, generally speaking, they will try to take advantage of the most recent version of the kernel that's out there, because the kernel is the part of the software that contains, at least in Linux, it contains the drivers that are compatible with your display, with your printer, with your keyboard, your wireless internet, your wired internet. All of those hardware components, the drivers for those, are embedded in the Linux kernel. That's not necessarily the case with other operating systems, but it is with Linux. And, of course, if you have something new, you can add a new driver to Linux as you can with Windows, but a lot of it's baked in. And so this particular version of Ubuntu, version 9.10, will be using the most recent version of the Linux kernel that they have access to at this point. And I'm just looking for the version number here. I know it's on this list. Anyway, we'll come back to that, I suppose. Ah, here it is. No, wrong one. We'll come back to it.
All right. So, but So basically, it's the entire Linux operating system that's been revamped, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, like I said, the kernel is under constant development, and maybe we should just take a minute and explain what this thing called a distribution is.
Okay.
for our new listeners. I know the listeners to the show that have been listening faithfully over the months
sure.
and years that
it's
I've been
point.
Involved here already know this stuff because we've gone over it. But for new listeners, there are various flavors, if you will, of Linux that are developed by different companies and different organizations, some of them nonprofits, some of them for-profit organizations. And unlike Windows, where there is only one manufacturer of or developer of the software, that being Microsoft, Linux has multiple companies working on it. The Linux kernel itself, the basic element of the software, is developed by many, many organizations and is contributed to by many developers. But that kernel is used and packaged in with other things like the software that makes the
graphical user interface, maybe?
Graphical user interface, yes, absolutely. And also, with Linux, it gets packaged with applications like an Office suite, like a graphics editor, like a PDF reader. Those kinds of applications are packaged in into a distribution. So each distribution has its own favorite way of packaging things. So if you have an Office suite, let's say, of course, you're not going to use Microsoft Office on Linux. You might use something like OpenOffice or KOffice. There are several different choices there. And each developer of a Linux distribution chooses what applications to package in with their distribution, and then they distribute it. And they give it a name, and the name of the one that we're talking about here is Ubuntu, and that is becoming more and more popular. It's arguably the most popular version of Linux that's out there, but many of our listeners may have heard of Red Hat.
Yeah, Red Hat.
Or some of the older ones out there as well. So each of those is a different flavor or a different distribution of Linux.
There you go. All right, and as we said, a new version is just around the corner. I'm wondering if it's coincidence or timing that, you know, Windows 7 is just around the corner, too. They want the release at the same time as Windows 7? Yes? Could be. We'll continue on. This is Computer America. It's all Linux, both hours. Stay with us. Twenty-four minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. By the way, Carrie, I have to stand corrected. It wasn't 500,000 years in the past. It was 150,000 years in the past.
Well, that's an important correction.
Yes, it was. Okay, so still a very long, long time ago.
Yeah.
the whole TV series. How many years did it go for? By the way, was it four, three, four, five? The Sci-Fi Channel series, this Battlestar. With how many years did it go? Seasons. Anyway. It all took place 150,000 years before we walked the face of the planet. That's when the time reference was. Larry Bushy, the creator of the Going Linux podcast, is here with us. We're talking about Linux all both hours, and we're talking about the new version of Linux being released later this month. And again, coincidence or intentional, you know, that Windows 7 is also being released this month, Larry? What's going on?
I don't know. Maybe there's a conspiracy theory going around. yeah, I'm sure that that there's some timing here, but I don't know whose timing it is. Ubuntu releases a new version every 6 months, and typically it is during the month of September that they, excuse me, during the month of October that they do the release. So this is their regular schedule.
Well, maybe we're looking at this wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe Microsoft planned the release of Windows 7 because they knew that Ubuntu was releasing their version in October.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I have heard, though, seriously, on a serious note, that Microsoft has been considering Linux a significant competitor recently. So perhaps there's more truth to that than we think.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
In
so,
humor, we find truth in humor.
Exactly. And I know that the folks at Microsoft have established an open source portion of their company to explore the possibility of developing open source software, and have actually contributed to the Linux kernel over the past few months. And of course, their contribution has been in the form of an improvement to the kernel that makes it run better in a virtual virtual machine on Windows. So, of course, you know, they want to make sure that things run better on Windows, and including Linux, apparently. So they've added to the Linux kernel to make it run better. So, you know, that was quite frankly viewed with suspicion by the Linux community as to why Microsoft would be doing that. But if you look at the motives behind it, it's something that I can see Microsoft doing. So it was certainly accepted into the Linux kernel and has been implemented. And presumably, when the new version of Ubuntu Linux comes out using the new kernel, that code will be in there for people who want to run Linux on a virtual machine on Windows. And by the way, I did find out that the Linux kernel version is 2.6.31. That's the most recent one that will be in the Ubuntu Linux, and the version of the kernel that's in there now is 2.6.28 is the one we're on right now. So as I mentioned earlier, the kernel, the basic element of the operating system, is being worked on continuously and is contributed to by many, many companies, apparently including Microsoft.
Now, when you have an operating system that's written by the single company, Microsoft or Apple, and I go out and I buy an application from a company like Adobe or you know, some other company out there, because there are lots of them, and I buy an application or I buy a utility and I put it in my computer and I run it in that operating system, I can be fairly confident that that program is going to work, because either there's a certification that goes with Microsoft to make sure that it works, or they might have a, you know, you're registered to Apple developer, you know, and you make sure that you can be fairly confident when I go out and buy a program it's going to work. But with Linux, when I go out and buy or get a Linux program, and I'm running maybe a distribution or another distribution, how do I know that the program I'm going to buy or get is going to, in fact, work with Red Hat's distribution or Ubuntu's distribution? I mean, can I be fairly confident no matter which distribution I have, that these programs are going to work?
Yeah, fairly confident. And if you want to be absolutely 100% sure that it's going to work, each distribution has a library of software that has been tweaked to work particularly well under their distribution. And so although Linux is Linux, it's all designed to work the same way. And when you design a software package to run under Linux, presumably it will run under all distributions of Linux. But, of course, software interacts with other software that is on your computer. For example, you may want your browser to interact with your mail client so that when you click on a link, it opens your mail and addresses the message. So that's the kind of interaction that I'm talking about. And each distribution may have a different mail client installed. So each distribution is going to ensure that, first of all, the software works well with what they provide by default. And possibly more importantly, they want to make sure that it conforms to their specs for the version of installer that they have. So there are a number of different ways that software can be installed depending on which version of Linux you have. So it's important that it be packaged properly so that when you go to install it, it will install and it will search out anything else that it needs in the way of a dependency to install that as well.
All right, you're listening to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK. That's the toll-free number that'll get you on to get you through. Email live@computeramerica.com or the chat room. We'll tell you how to get in there as well. We'll continue on with our All Linux Show tonight. Stay with us. Right now, we are in the third Tuesday of the month. It is when we devote the entire show to Linux. Larry Bushy, who is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, is with us. As I said just before the break, there are three ways to get a hold of us. You can join in by calling us toll-free at 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. You can also send us email to live, L-I-V-E, at computeramerica.com, or join us in our chat room. The way that works is you go to computeramerica.com. On the homepage there on the left-hand side, it says chat with us. You create a username. That's the name you'll be known by when you go in there. Click the login button and your Java-enabled browser, being a Windows machine, Mac, Linux, Vista, Windows 7, Snow Leopard, it all works. It'll move you into the Computer America chat room where Larry is also participating. He's the one with the green avatar, Going Linux-Larry is his screen name in there. And we are talking about Linux, specifically the news that a brand new Linux version is about to be released, something similar to the Windows 7 being released this month. And we don't think it's coincidental because, as Larry said, Ubuntu typically releases a new version every 6 months, October being the month, one of the 6 months that it releases its new version. So there you go. And it is just around the corner. We also have emails that have been written to Larry. We've got one here from our live at computeramerica.com, and this one is from a gentleman by the name of Lester. He says, "Hey, friends." He says, "Partly due to Larry's good presentation on the show and now also on his Going Linux podcast, and partly due to the fact that I just got fed up with Microsoft, I switched to Linux and use it for everything I do now, except that I still dual boot because I have to have Windows to connect to my company's Windows server about once a week or so. I would like for Larry to talk a bit about the new 9.10 coming out later this month and his suggestions for updating to it. Should we do it right away, or how does that happen? Thanks for all the great shows, Lester," and sometimes he's known to us as Amish Trucker. And when we come back in 60 seconds, Larry, I'd like you to talk about that, because there is some wisdom to the fact that don't be the first to jump in. Wait a little bit. Let it mellow. Make sure that nothing disastrous is about to happen. That's true for Microsoft and Mac. Is it true for Windows? We'll find out in 60 seconds as we continue on our All Linux show. Stay with us.
And we're back with the Computer America Show. We are live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks. This is the third Tuesday. Is it the third Tuesday?
Yes, the third Tuesday of the month. Yes.
It must be, because it's our All Linux show. Both hours of the show dedicated to talking about Linux and nothing but Linux. And our guest.
And everything but the Linux. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah, that didn't quite.
No, it didn't quite work that way. Yes.
Our guest, Larry Bushy, has a podcast called Going Linux, which is completely free. Go figure. You can download that and listen to it on demand over at goinglinux.com. And we have some Gmail. We have some mail.
Right, it was from Lester. And basically, the Gmail, he was asking Larry for his opinion on the new 9.10 version of Linux coming out later this month. And he wanted his suggestions for updating to it. Basically, should we do it right away, and how does that happen, or should we wait? And he said, "Thanks for all the great shows, Lester." And the wisdom seems to be for most operating systems is to let it mellow a little bit, to let it be out for a little while. Don't be the early adopter, because if there are going to be some problems, the early adopters are going to find out about it real quick, and you can save the pain and suffering and say, "Boy, I'm glad I didn't do that, update it on that opening day, because it trashed my email or did who knows what it does." So, and that's typical. You'll find that with the Mac OS, you'll find that with the Windows OS, and usually you wait till like the 0.1 or 0.2 follow up release comes out, takes care of those little things, and then you're happy. So, I guess what he's asking and what we're all asking, Larry, is does that basically carry over to the world of Linux too?
Well, I think it's wise advice, yes. Yes. And in fact, that's my practice as well. Typically, I wait a week or two after a new distribution of Linux is released before I install it. And the reason for that is the same reason that you would do that for Microsoft or for Mac or anything else. And that is, just as with any other software, There is no true test like having it out in production for the average user to use. You know, regardless of how thoroughly software developers test software, unless they have it in front of regular, real users in the real-life scenario, they can't anticipate everything that could possibly go wrong. And, you know, Murphy's Law says as soon as you release it, somebody's going to find a bug that you didn't know was there. And that's true of any software out there. So there is nothing like a service pack for Linux like there would be for Windows, but I would give it a week or two. And then with Ubuntu, one of the things that you'll notice if you're already using the current version or even previous versions of Ubuntu prior to the one we're using now, which is version 9.04, you'll notice that there is a software updater that runs automatically and periodically checks to see if there's any updates, not only for the Linux software itself, but also for the applications, your Office Suite, your mail client, any of the other software that you have. But as soon as Ubuntu 9.10 is released, you'll be getting a notification after you get your regular updates that says, there's a new version, a new release available. Would you like to upgrade to it? And it's okay to ignore that until you're ready to install it yourself and actually do the upgrade. And upgrading from a previous version of Ubuntu is as simple as clicking that button that says, yes, I want to upgrade to the latest release. And it certainly takes a little longer to update from the previous version to the new version than it would to just receive the regular incremental upgrades or updates, rather, to the kernel and to the applications and so on. But once that's completed, you should have all of the new features, and you will have maybe even some new software installed by default. It won't remove any of your preferences, but it will upgrade to the latest version of everything you've got.
So hopefully things won't disappear. That's what happened recently with the Snow Leopard Apple. There was a little bit of an outcry. They said that people, when they would log in as a guest and then back to their regular user, that it trashed their email. I don't know if you heard that. That was one of the things that – and even though most people couldn't really document, Apple kind of acknowledged the fact that that could happen under some rare circumstance. So it happens to the biggest and the best, you know. These things can't happen.
Yeah,
and to Apple,
that,
too.
Yeah, sure. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yes, and to Microsoft. But more than one can play that game, Gary.
Yes, they can, yeah.
And that's a possibility with this upgrade of Ubuntu as well. One of the things that I mentioned earlier is that with Linux you have a vast array of different applications to choose from, and with Ubuntu they choose one application to install by default, and so their Office Suite is OpenOffice, and their mail client is something that begins with E that I don't use. I forget what it is. But one thing that they are saying that they're going to switch in this version is their chat client, their regular text messaging. There's a current version of a text messaging client that is on Ubuntu, and it's from the Mozilla folks, the same folks that develop Firefox, and it's called Pigeon. It's based on the same software base as Firefox and Thunderbird, the mail client that I do use. And it's been installed in previous versions for a long time, previous versions of Ubuntu for a long time. And it's getting a little long in the tooth. It's showing its age, and Ubuntu is trying to keep up with things. One of the things that Pigeon doesn't have, for example, is the ability to use your video camera that may be built into your laptop, your webcam, to hold video chats. So they're removing the Pigeon application, and they're going to be replacing it with something called Empathy. And it's just another text messaging client, but this has text, voice, and video chat capabilities, has a little more modern interface, and still has a lot of the, if not all of the capability of being compatible with MSN and IRC and AIM and Yahoo and all of the other text messaging and chat software that's out there, except it's much more up-to-date. Now, when you install, and I haven't installed the latest version of Ubuntu, so I don't know this for a fact out of experience, but I suspect that if it's like the previous releases of Ubuntu, what will happen is Pigeon will get uninstalled, Empathy will get installed, and if you're relying on Pigeon as your chat client, you'll go, where did my Pigeon go? It flew away. So one of the things that an upgrade like this doesn't do, however, is although it uninstalls the application itself, it does not remove your preferences. So if you absolutely have to live with the Pigeon client, you just reinstall it. Your preferences are still there. All your chat buddies are still there. Everything's still set up the way it was. It's not going to remove that. It just is going to remove the client itself and replace it with the one that gets packaged. So, yeah. It's possible that this could happen on Linux as well.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so your advice basically to our friend...
To Lester?
Yes, is basically to be careful. In other words...
Yeah, just wait a week or two, and by that time, you know, folks will have had a chance to use it a bit, report the bugs back to Canonical, which is the company behind Ubuntu, and they will release some patches which will get updated automatically through the updater. And when you, a week or two down the road, install it, you will get those updates right away, and you'll have the advantage of having waited a couple of weeks and having waited for those updates to take place.
So, Lester, there you go. Just, you know, a little toe in the water never hurt anybody, you know, and certainly Linux is no exception to that rule. So basically, just wait a little bit. And you're saying about 2 weeks is more than enough time sufficient?
Oh, absolutely. The day it's released, the servers at Canonical will get bombarded with people trying to download the latest version.
There you go. All right. Hey, Lester, thanks for writing us. It's always nice to get emails from you. And we'll continue on. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. It's our All Linux Show. It's the third Tuesday of the month. We'll continue on with Larry right after this. Just a congratulations to this week's Buddy List winner, Geraldo Lalo Nunez is the person's name. Geraldo wins the Logitech Cordless Desktop S520 keyboard and mouse combination. Really nice. Sweet. And Geraldo also wins a copy of PC Tools Internet Security Suite. This is PC Tools' all-in-one security suite featuring their award-winning anti-spyware, antivirus, firewall, and spam protection. And if you want to get a chance in winning some of the cool prizes that we give away every single Friday from Logitech and PC Tools, just get on our buddy list. Just go to ComputerAmerica.com. It says right there, get on our buddy list. You can't be more clear than that. What you do is you put your full name and your email address in there and click the join button. Now, it's absolutely free, and we keep everything private. We don't send the list out or give that out. We keep it to ourselves. However, it will send a confirmation email to the one that you put in there to make sure that it's in fact you who wants to be on the buddy list. It's a double opt-in system. When you do that, you're in. And the buddy list, when you're on the buddy list, you automatically subscribe to the weekly email show reminder. That's our email newsletter that gets delivered fresh and piping hot into your email inbox every Monday morning. It is the only place that we list the entire lineup of shows for that week, who's going on to be on the show, the name of the guests, the companies, the topics. It's all in there, and it's only in the show reminder. It's nowhere on the on our website. We want to give value added to the show reminder, so we put it in there. In addition to that, we also include special coupons, discount coupons, codes that are unique to subscribers to the Computer America Show Reminder. For example, PopCap Games just introduced a brand new 25% off discount coupon code, and it's only in the Show Reminder. When you get it, whenever you go to popcapgames.com and you want to buy a game, you put that code in, you will get 25% off the price, and it's only in the Show Reminder. So just another advantage to getting it. We have we have columns in there. We have things that are going on. We have we announced the winners of contests and giveaways in the past week. In case you missed it, it's also in the Show Reminder. It's a valuable resource for Computer America listeners. Head on over to ComputerAmerica.com, subscribe to it, and, of course, your name gets put into the Friday show drawing where we give away the really nice prize from Logitech and a copy of PC Tools Internet Security Suite. So that's how that works. Get on over there. Get your subscribed. It's free and it's private. Linux is the topic of the evening. Larry Bushy continues on with us. He's the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. And we just read one of our listener emails. When we come back from hour two, we're going to go to some additional emails that were sent to Larry because yes, he has listeners too, the Going Linux podcast, and they send him a lot of emails. And I know that you want to pick the emails that refer to where they hear you on Computer America, and that's always nice to do. Not always, but it's nice. And we have a bunch of them, and we will be responding to those as well when we come back in the second hour of the Computer America show. Just want to mention one other thing before we get into the next hour, and that is we don't have time. So we'll just have to wait till we get to hour two. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK. That's the toll-free number. Get you on, get you through. Queue up. A great time to ask your Linux questions. That's why we devote both hours to the topic of Linux. Live at ComputerAmerica.com or our chat room, where Larry is participating as well, at ComputerAmerica.com. We'll be back after your local and national news.
First hour's behind us, but there's still more of tech news, tech talk, and your phone calls. We're being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the Internet at ComputerAmerica.com. You got computer problems? Bring them on. You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Carrie Holzman.
And we continue on with our all-Linux show tonight. That's right. It is the second Tuesday of the month, and that means we devote the entire show to the topic of Linux. And the crowd goes wild. And yes, Larry Bushy is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, and he joins us as well here on the program. And what we're going to probably lead off in this hour, Larry, if it's okay with you, or some of the emails that you received over the past month, asking some questions and comments. And usually Larry picks some of the emails that mention Computer America in them. Not always, but sometimes, and it's always nice. So which one would you like to lead with here?
Why don't we start at the top of the list here? We have an email from Tim who says he's in northern Minnesota, and the title of his email was, "I'm a Computer America winner."
Yay!
And he wrote this email to Tom, my co-host on the Going Linux podcast, and to me. And he says, "Hello, oh mighty Linux magicians."
He uses the word "oh." Hello,
yes.
"oh."
Yes, hello, "oh mighty Linux magicians."
Right. Uh-huh.
I think he gives us too much credit.
Yeah.
But he says, "Larry, I listen to every episode, including the Computer America shows. I am afraid that if I don't listen, I'll miss something."
He's right.
Yes. I had signed up for the Computer America Weekly newsletter, and a few weeks ago, my name was drawn for a Logitech keyboard-mouse combo. I sound like you guys advertising the stuff.
It was good stuff.
Great. Sorry?
Hey, I'll tell
That's
you
good
what.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. Listen, I want to hold up. Can we just freeze the letter? Because we always try to defer to callers. And we do have a caller just called in just as you started to read that. So we'll go back to Tim, okay? And let me go now to Scott, who's listening to us on radio station KNUU in Las Vegas. And he's got a question for you. Computer America, Craig Crossman. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Hi, welcome to the show. We got our All Linux program, and we actually stopped reading this email to take your call.
I appreciate that.
No problem. How can we help you?
Well, I just had a question regarding the two different versions of Linux, the 32-bit versus the 64-bit version. I've always been bothered by the fact that most PCs out there are capable of running 64-bit software, but the companies aren't writing it. Well, I've looked on the internet and done a little bit of research, and the community seems to be divided as to whether you should actually upgrade to 64-bit versus 32, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
You know, this I'm getting deja vu. I mean, we just talked about this, but applying this to Windows. Do you want to go to 64-bit as it was the 32-bit Windows, Kerry? And you remember that? And we were talking about it the other day?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, so... it seems to be, Scott, this seems to be on everyone's mind, regardless of what platform they're using. But, okay. Larry?
Yeah. In fact, Addison in the chat room and I were talking about that before the program started. And we both have 64-bit computers, and we both have tried the 64-bit version of Ubuntu Linux. And I would highly recommend that if you have a 64-bit version of your computer and you have RAM that would be over 3.5 gigabytes of RAM, rather than go with the 32-bit version, you will probably want to take advantage of that additional RAM and use the 64-bit version. Now, that's not to say that the 32-bit won't run just fine. In fact, I'm running 32-bit Ubuntu on my 64-bit machine right now, primarily because there was a little software glitch with one of the applications that I depend on. It wasn't written quite right for 64-bit. So I switched back to 32-bit primarily because of that, not because of the operating system not working properly, but because the one application I depend on wasn't quite 64-bit ready yet.
You know, and it always seems to boil down to that too, Scott and Larry. In other words, you know, what's important to you, what you use every day, that's what you want to make sure that everything is compatible. And if that it isn't, then, you know, the heck with it, because that application or utility, whatever it is important to you. And if it won't run in 64 or won't run with a particular whatever, make sure that that's the environment that you want it to run in. You know, that boils down. I hear that a lot, you know, and it's true. Yeah.
Right. And if you're using applications that typically are running your processor full tilt, like if you're doing video editing or something like that, and your computer is struggling to keep up, you notice it slowing down, but it's a 64-bit computer running a 32-bit operating system, the 64-bit operating system might just help you, especially if you've got a dual processor in there, if it's a fairly recent computer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your opinion on that.
There you
You're
go. All right.
Welcome. Yeah.
And Scott, thanks for giving us a call. Okay. All right. Let's go to.
Could you clarify for me how does 64-bit help if you have? Because I had an email the other day that said I don't understand why we've got all these dual core and quad core processors. It seems a waste when everybody's running a 32-bit operating system. But my 32-bit operating system sees all 8 of my cores just fine. Why would it benefit me to have 64-bit to better take advantage of those cores?
Well, it's primarily due to the RAM more than the processor itself. You know, if you have 3.5 gigabytes of RAM or less, 32-bit operating system will work just fine and will address both or all four processors just fine. But if you want to take full advantage of all the computing power, most computers that have four gigabytes of RAM or more will have multiple processors. And in combination with using multiple processors and the additional RAM, if you've got something that uses a lot of memory and uses a lot of processing power, the 64-bit operating system just takes advantage of both of those things in combination with one another to make the application run faster. I suspect that it's the same sort of thing on Mac or Windows, is it not?
Yes. At least on the Mac. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
The impression I have is that 64-bit primarily gives you access to more RAM over the,
right,
you know, the 4-gig limit, and any applications that are specifically written for 64-bit will benefit in a 64-bit environment.
Yep.
So whether or not that's going to help your applications take advantage of your cores, I think really depends on the application.
Yeah, like Photoshop, for example. That's I think it's doing a lot of number crunching and photo manipulation. The 64-bit certain version is certainly going to be more. It's going to be faster, quicker, snappier because of it's designed to use all that additional computing power. But Kerry's correct, and the application has to really be specifically written to take advantage of the multi-core and the 64-bit operating system to truly to shine above the 32-bit version.
That's true on Linux as well.
Let's go to John. Listen to us in San Diego on radio station KCEO, AM 1000, Computer America, Craig Crossman. Hey, John.
Hi. Listen, I'm, like most people who are using Ubuntu, my background is mainly with Windows, and I was concerned about with this impending upgrade or new version of Kubuntu, whether it would be better to actually do a reinstall as opposed to an upgrade or an update, because as you know, with Windows, sometimes you can benefit if you just reinstall and then you don't have any of the garbage that's accumulated over time. And I specifically am using Kubuntu, and as you might know, Kubuntu 9.04 is bug ridden, and there are lots of problems and have been throughout the last 6 months. And I was just wondering, would I be better off just doing a reinstall?
Yeah, that's a really good question in general, whether you're using Kubuntu or any other version of Linux. Let me address the Kubuntu bug-ridden thing.
Sure.
The desktop environment in Kubuntu is something called KDE, and that has been revamped very recently. Over the past year or so, they've done a lot of development on it, and it was originally released as an early release, as a pre-release, and was installed on a lot of Linux operating systems as the desktop environment. And in my opinion, in the opinion of many Linux users, it was released before it was ready. And I think that the latest version of Ubuntu will be using a much newer version of KDE, so many of those bugs will go away as a result of upgrading. Now, bear in mind that KDE is still KDE 4. Whatever they're on right now, right, is still relatively new, so there may still be some hiccups in there, but it'll definitely be better than previously. But to the issue of should I upgrade or should I fresh install, that's always a question. And I prefer to do the fresh install primarily because I like to start over and see what the new features are. And sometimes when you do an upgrade, and this will be the case in this case, there are some new features that don't get installed by default if you upgrade, but they do get installed by default if you start afresh. Mm-hmm. And in this case with Ubuntu, they have, for the first time, started using the EXT4 file system. And if you upgrade, they're not going to change your file system. They'll just leave it the way it is. But if you start afresh, you can take advantage of that EXT4 file system. Now, the file system, just for our Windows users, is like NTFS or FAT32. EXT4 is a Linux version of a file system. So that's one reason to start afresh. Something on the other side of the coin, though, one of the advantages you have if you do the upgrade is that you don't need to reinstall any applications. Right. With an upgrade, all of the software that you already have installed stays installed, with the exception of those kinds of things that I was talking about earlier with the messaging client that we were talking about. But for the most part, your applications will continue to run just as they did before the upgrade, except in the new environment. And if there's a new version of that application, of course, you get a new version of the application along with your upgrade as well. So there are definitely some advantages on either side of the coin. Either way, my recommendation is before you upgrade or before you reinstall, copy your home directory and make a backup because okay. Who knows what's going to happen.
There you go. Right.
Thank you.
Words of wisdom. John, thanks for giving us a call. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. Live at ComputerAmerica.com or, of course, our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Please join us in there. Larry Bushy continues on with us. It's our All Linux Show this hour. We'll go back to the emails and your calls. And you're listening to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. It's our All Linux Show. And getting back to Tim in northern Minnesota, who said that he's a Computer America winner. And we just got into, hello, oh mighty Linux magicians, and then we got sidetracked. So why don't we continue on?
All right, well, let's start it again. He says, I listen to every episode, including the Computer America shows. I'm afraid that if I don't listen, I'll miss something. I had signed up for the weekly newsletter, and a few weeks ago, my name was drawn for a Logitech keyboard mouse combo. It works great in Ubuntu, even the custom keys on the keyboard, calculator, web browser, volume, etc. Yes, it was a nice surprise. I don't know why I was surprised. Of course it's going to work. And I'd like to thank you guys for letting me know of this opportunity. He addresses the next paragraph to Tom, my co-host. He says, I need your help. It was a Friday that I won the keyboard mouse combo, and they also gave me a second prize. Now that I downloaded PC tools to my home directory, I opened the directory, and I can't figure out how to install it. Ubuntu keeps saying it doesn't know what to do with an .exe file. Do you think it would help my Mac or Vista machine? No, I didn't think so. Guys, thanks for your help. Full instruction and humor. I hope I was able to give some back to you today, Tim, in northern Minnesota. And he writes a PS. Yes, the keyboard mouse works nice, but I haven't downloaded PC tools yet because I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. I suppose I could burn it to a CD so I would have something to put my Mountain Dew on.
Oh,
there you go.
Vicious. So.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, somebody who doesn't need spyware doctor. I don't hear that often enough, so that's music to my ears. Most people,
yes,
you know, are using the Windows platform, and spyware is a problem. It's a plague.
Big one, yeah.
It is, and although you don't need that sort of thing under Linux, perhaps, Tim, you could do as you suggested and burn it to a CD, but maybe give it to one of your Windows-using friends. That's probably something that would be very good to do.
There you go. But thanks for the nice words, Tim, and we're happy that that you won those nice prizes. There you go.
Yeah. Shall we go into the next email then?
Yes, Mark S. in Loma Mar, California.
Loma Mar, California. These California names, they kind of roll off your tongue haltingly.
Trippingly, yes, exactly.
Trippingly, yes. Mark says, hi, gents. He's making an assumption there, but that's fair. I'm a fairly new listener. I enjoyed Larry's appearances on Computer America so much, I should check out the show at goinglinux.com, he says. It's very informative and interesting. I just finished the file types episode, and I'll be listening to that one again. What he's referring to there is we did an episode, Tom and I did an episode on different file types in Linux and what the file structure is in Linux, and that's the kind of thing that we go through in our user experience episodes. So continuing with Mark's email, he says, I've listened to other podcasts about Linux before, but they either pod faded or I lost interest because they tended to be more about diatribes against Microsoft than about Linux itself. And it always just ends up sounding like sour grapes. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why I started the Going Linux podcast is because there were a lot of those out there at the time. And there have been a lot of folks starting other Linux podcasts with the same bent as the Going Linux, a little more content and a little less vitriol against Microsoft. Mark continues, I use Linux occasionally, but I admit I'm a bit promiscuous when it comes to operating systems. I tend to like all of them, Linux, Mac, Windows OS 10, FreeBSD, and Solaris. It's all good to me. They all have some good points and some bad points. Some issues I'm having running Linux right now include not being able to get my Epson Workforce 600 printer to work, either with Ubuntu 9.04 or Linux Mint 7. In Ubuntu, when I try to print, the printer sounds like it's starting up, but then does nothing. The fact I could ping it, it's a wireless printer, makes me think that it could work, but I can't seal the deal yet. Another issue I'm having with Linux in general is I want a good all-around MP3 podcatching software that syncs automatically with a player. I can use Amazon for my music purchases, no problem. But what I really need is software that syncs with a device and loads my new podcast. And sounds like we're going to have to continue this email after the break.
And yes, it will. Okay. While deleting the old one. So Mark in Loma Mar, California, will continue reading your email, and then Larry will make some comments and suggestions to you. By the way, Epson Workforce 600 printer, nice printer. We'll continue on. Stay with us. And it's 34 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. Live and at ComputerAmerica.com or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. We continue on with Larry Bushy, the creator of the Going Linux podcast, and we're reading an email from Mark S. in Loma Mar, California. So if you want to continue on.
Well, before I continue with the rest of his email about the podcatcher and his media player, why don't we just talk a little bit about the printing issue that he was having with his Workforce 600 printer. You mentioned that that's a very nice printer, and I agree it is. One of the things that is a complaint, I guess, that many Linux users have is that brand new hardware often doesn't come with drivers for the work under Linux, and printers tend to be some of those. Although I had just purchased a Samsung all-in-one laser printer that on the box said it was compatible with Windows and Mac, but when I opened the package on the CD, to my surprise, was not only the Mac and the Windows version of the software, but also a Linux version that they weren't advertising on the outside of the box. And, of course, since I suspect that they don't get any money from Linux to advertise, they don't put that on the box. But
interesting, yeah.
Very nice to know that at least Samsung does this kind of development. And Epson does development on Linux drivers as well, and I suspect they don't advertise them very well either. But
does an image of a penguin appear on the box at least?
No, they didn't even have that on the Samsung box. I don't know about the Epson box. And that's one of my complaints. I think last month I mentioned that I would like to see hardware manufacturers make it a little more obvious. Since Linux is an up-and-coming operating system and it's gaining ground, they should be making sure that folks understand that their particular hardware will work with the operating system that they've just switched to. So one place you can go and to find out if your printer is compatible with Linux, even before you open the box, is something called linuxprinting.org. It's a website that rates printers on their compatibility with Linux. And in fact, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a post on the Ubuntu forums that also has a link to in that post to linuxprinting.org, specifically about the Epson Workforce 600 printer. And the post on the forum actually outlines some very good information on where to get the driver for the Workforce 600 printer, and it installs like a dream. There are even instructions on this this support forum about how to do that. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the show, with the update to the new kernel of Linux that's coming out in the new release of Ubuntu, version 9.10 of Ubuntu, it's very likely that that driver or compatible driver written for Linux has been incorporated into the kernel. So if this our email writer
Mark.
Here, yeah. Mark, had waited just a little bit and upgraded to Ubuntu 9.10, he probably would have had no problem at all. It would have just been right there on the setup screen when he went to install the printer. So one of the things you have with new hardware, regardless of the operating system, I'm afraid. So shall we continue with Mark's email then?
Yeah, well, actually, no, because in about 15 seconds, we're going to take a 60-second break, and then we'll continue on with that, okay? Of course, we're Larry Bushy is continuing on with us, so we're going to take a 60-second break, but it is our All Linux show. If you want to call in, you certainly can. Toll-free 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. Live at ComputerAmerica.com, our email address, or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com, where Larry is there. We're going to break for 60 seconds, as I said, and then we'll continue on our All Linux show. Third Tuesday of the month, that's what we do here in Computer America. Stay with us.
And we're back with the Computer America show, live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks. We're broadcasting coast to coast and around the world through the web at ComputerAmerica.com. It is the third Tuesday of the month. That means it's our All Linux show, both hours dedicated to the topic of Linux. And right now, reading your emails with our Linux expert, Larry Bushy, on the line with us. And Larry, you were continuing an email, I believe it was from Mark.
In Loma Mar, California, yes.
Yeah. So, Mark, we addressed his printer issue. He said he has another issue with Linux in general. He's looking for a media player. He says, I can use Amazon for my music purchases, no problem, but what I really need is software that syncs with a device and loads my new podcasts while deleting the old ones. Right now, I use a Zune, and it's the ultimate in a podcast device and software. I want this in Linux. I don't care if it's free, open source, or a closed paid application. I simply want it to work.
By the way, as a little footnote, I just got a hands-on with a new Zune HD.
Uh-huh.
My goodness, that is absolutely a gorgeous little device.
I've been hearing a lot of good things about it.
That is a gorgeous device.
PC, I think, gave it a 9.
Oh, my gosh. It has got the OLED screen on it. It is fluid. It is thin. It is tiny. It is, but it's got a good heft to it. And the way everything, there's no lag. Everything is liquid smooth on the menus. It's a multi-touch screen. It has built-in HD radio, high-definition radio as well. You can get the newest channels. I mean, it is a very, very nice little MP3 player. So if you're looking for something that's off the path from the Apple iPod, that's going to be a good challenger to the iPod Touch, let's say, you really want to look at the Zune HD. Very, very nice device.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it as well.
Yeah.
And so Mark is looking for something that works with a Zune, obviously, and he says if there's software that allows me to hack a device, either an iPod or some other player, probably not a Zune, I would imagine, and sync it with Linux software, that's fine. Thanks for your great show. I'm going to see – I see I'm going to have to go back to the beginning and catch all the great content I've missed. Thanks very much for your hard work and time you put into the show, Mark. And, Mark, there are plenty of media players on Linux that will sync with media playing software that will sync with your media player, that will act as a podcatcher that allows you to subscribe to podcasts, subscribe to RSS feeds, which are the little pieces of software that allow you to get free episodes of our podcast or any other podcast on a regular basis as soon as new episodes are created and delivered to you. And one of the software programs that is native on Ubuntu Linux for doing that kind of thing is called Rhythmbox. And if you're using the KDE desktop environment, there is a KDE media player as well, and there are various media players for various things. Many of them have similar sorts of features that you might find on iTunes or on your Amazon site or on the media software that comes with the Zune or works with the Zune. So just take a look at what comes in your distribution of Linux and give it a try. And if none of those suits your fancy, just look in the package manager and see what else is available. The one that I use is called GPodder, and it's a podcast client that's available for Linux and works quite nicely, syncs with my iPod quite nicely as well. So I like that one very much. But Rhythmbox and many of the others, Amarok and so on, they all sync with most media players too.
There you go. All right, Mark. Yeah. All right. Let's see. We have time. Why don't we go to another one? This is from the United Kingdom. The UK wrote to you, right?
Yes, we have international listeners, and James is in the UK. He wrote us about the release of Ubuntu 9.10, Karmic Koala. Karmic Koala, by the way, is the code name for the latest release of Ubuntu. They mm-hmm. tend to name their distributions after animals of some sort, usually fuzzy. he says, just listening to your episode number 80, where you made a few comments about looking forward to Ubuntu 9.10, just to give you a bit of a preview, it sounds like he's downloaded the beta. He says, mm-hmm. I've been running it since Alpha 5, and I've watched the new artwork and themes going in, as well as a few of the glitches happen, which, of course, happens with beta and alpha versions of software, but I could not go back now. No way. The new theme is still brown, which is the traditional color of Ubuntu, but it's very much smarter. I like it in a way I never liked the old theme. My review of 9.10 is that it looks exactly like 9.04, except that every little bit is at least a little bit better, and I would say that it adds up to a whole, which is far better than 9.04. As it stands with 2 weeks to go, as of the writing of his email, I am following about 3 outstanding bugs, which I care about, but for me, it's already better than 9.04. James. And one of the things that he mentions is that he's following bugs. And as the software is developed in Linux, unlike with proprietary operating systems, you can actually get in and look at the website and see what's happening in the development of the software because it's all open. You can see what bugs they have, and I imagine that James has some software, some particular feature that he's very interested in, and perhaps in the development of this new version they've identified a bug that makes it not work, and he's following it in the Ubuntu development site to make sure that they have ironed out those bugs before it goes live, and I'm sure they will. Another nice thing is if you are a developer of technical bent and want to get involved in the development of software like the Linux distribution itself or any of the applications, that's definitely something you can do with Linux because it's open source and because they're looking for developers all the time, and you can become a member of one of these teams and help develop the software that you actually use.
There you go. Listen, let's move on to the next one. I want to skip and over that and go to the one that was the following one written by Mark A. to you.
Sure.
Because it actually it touched upon something that you talked about here on Computer America. Could you read it?
Yeah. It says, following our discussion about the hidden cost of Windows during my appearance on Computer America in July, the listener, Mark, wrote this email to us, a comment, and he said, "Dear Larry and Tom, I'm a new listener, and I am relatively new to Linux. I installed my first distribution only 2 months ago, and I'm certainly seeing the benefits Linux offers over a Microsoft operating system. In listener feedback episode number 77, you touched on the topic of the cost of using Linux in terms of time spent working on the operating system. The original piece of listener feedback noted that using Linux costs you more time in learning how to use the operating system. While that point is certainly up for discussion, I have been able to save significant amounts of time using Linux. I had previously used Windows XP on an older laptop, a 1 gigahertz Pentium 3, 256 megabytes of RAM. I found it excruciatingly slow.
Surprise.
I got so tired of it taking forever to boot up to the point where I could actually start using the computer for some productive activities. Linux, however, offers several lightweight distributions that run so much faster and offer the same level of functionality. I use Puppy Linux, another fuzzy name for Linux. Yeah, and less than 60 seconds after pressing the power button, I can be reading my email.
Actually, it's 90 seconds, but okay.
I got that. That's my dyslexia upside down. That's what it is. Okay. He says a similar adventure using Windows took over 5 minutes.
Wow.
So compared to 5 minutes, 60, 90 seconds, same difference,
sure.
Right? I believe whatever time cost I encountered learning how to use Linux at first will be more than offset by the time savings I'll gain by using a fast operating system not plagued by endless bloat. The cost of switching back to Windows now would be unbearable. Thanks for a great show, Mark.
There you go. Cool. Good points. And good follow-up. Hey, we're up against the break again. Speaking of endless bloat, and we will get back to this. We are, in fact, the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. It's all Linux. We'll continue on right after this. Don't forget, our Computer America contest is still open. We have five great prizes we're giving away, fifth, fourth, third, second, and grand prize. They're from Logitech, and along with each of the prizes from Logitech we're giving away, we're including a copy of System Mechanic version 9 from Iolo Technologies, the PC tune-up experts. And you can check them out at www.iolo, that's IOLO.com. Valid entries must include your full name, shipping address, and phone number. What you do is send an email with that information to contest@computeramerica.com. The contest will run to the 30th of October, which is on a Friday. We still have time. And then the winners will be announced the following Tuesday, November the 3rd. And again, you'll see all the terrific prizes at computeramerica.com. And the winner is envelope. Click on it, and you'll see the picture of the System Mechanic and the grand prize, which is the Harmony One $250 universal remote control from Logitech. The next series that we're going to start, I understand we're going to be changing some of the prizes because Logitech has introduced some new products, and we're going to be offering them in the next contest after this one. So stay tuned as well. Larry Bushy continues on with us, this is the last segment. So what's going to be happening on the next episode of the Going Linux podcast, Larry?
Well, the next episode we're going to have some discussions about gaming under Linux. My co-host Tom has been investigating some things regarding Linux games and has found some very interesting games out there.
Solitaire?
No. You could start up Wine and run the Windows Solitaire under Wine, I guess. No, we're not going to cover Solitaire. Something
okay.
A little more exciting.
Okay.
But we usually have three episodes a month, one broadcasting my appearances, rebroadcasting my appearances here on Computer America just after they occur. At the end of the month, we have a user experience episode like the one we just completed on changing Linux default applications. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the month, we do listener feedback, a whole show dedicated to emails and feedback from listeners.
Very, very cool. And again, if they want to subscribe or go to the Going Linux podcast, how do they do that?
You can go to goinglinux.com. We have a number of links there. There's a link to iTunes. You can find our feeds on Podcast Alley and many of the other podcast websites out there, and
on our links page.
On the Computer America link page.
Yep.
And from any of those, just pop that link into your podcatcher, and you've got it. You're subscribed, and you can listen to all the episodes.
Well, Larry, it's always a pleasure having you here on the Computer America show on the third Tuesday of every month, and we look forward to your next appearance in November, all right?
I do, too.
And thanks so much for being here. Terrific emails and some really good insights into the world of Linux. And don't wait just once a month here in Computer America. Tune into the Going Linux podcast. Larry, thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks.
Take care. Have a good evening. Good night. Tomorrow night, it's Wednesday Madness, Kerry. Are you mad?
I might be.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well,
actually, just some software updates.
Okay.
Another tech news. Of course, phone calls and emails. In fact, if you have a question, we'll be addressing that, or a comment, we'll be addressing those tomorrow night. You can send us your email right now. The email address is live, L-I-V-E, at ComputerAmerica.com. And they can also call the number, which is, what, 828? I'm trying to do it off the top of my head.
828. It's 348-4444.
That's the one. You can call that 24-7, leave your message, and then hear yourself on the radio. We do that on Wednesdays.
That's it. So that about wraps it up. And until tomorrow night, this is Craig Crossman hoping that your hard disk never becomes floppy. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night, everyone.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.